So what you're describing to me, it has some resemblance with pity, as like it's exciting, like it's energetic, and it's you when you, like for example in samadhi, getting samadhi, and then you're like, oh, okay, this is nice, you're successful in your endeavor, and I was thinking like, how would that relate to like getting your desire fulfilled? Would that also be like a sense of pity? It's not peaceful, but it's like it can be agitating, but it's also like exciting and energetic, and the result of that could be sukha or happiness or peace. So how would you relate to what I just shared?
Well, it's a good point. Well, one of the frequent comments about piti, that rapture, is that it's not very peaceful, and that there's got a kind of charged, exciting, there's a gratification that can come with it, like, wow, this is really sort of there's a quite a sort of bright, positive, charged quality to it. But then, by paying attention to that or feeling that, the physicality of it, it's like, oh, this isn't very peaceful. So in the teachings of the great Ajahns, often they'll mention that rapture is part of the meditation process, but it's not very peaceful, and it's not helpful to dwell in that or to feed that quality of piti on its own, or to relish that. It's a stage that the mind can go through, and much more helpful to for that to ripen into sukha, contentment, and that much more quiet quality of fulfillment or well-being, and which is more mature. So it's all pretty much always represented that sukha comes after piti. It's like a much more mature quality. So sukha is not as exciting or as like wow-ish than as the sort of electricity of rapture, of piti. But it's more peaceful, and it's more helpful in terms of supporting insight. And then ekagata, one-pointedness, is then that what follows on beyond, and equanimity and one-pointedness is what follows on beyond sukha. So sukha's still got a kind of emotional, a kind of tangible emotional tone to it. Kind of, it's more peaceful and more, say, stable than piti, rapture. But so that emotional tone of it, the kind of warmth or quality of easefulness or comfort, that can also, that's something that then falls away at the next sort of stage. And the characterization of fourth jhana is equanimity and mindfulness, or equanimity and one-pointedness, the upekkha and ekagata. If I'm remembering my points correctly. Any comments on
Yeah, just also, yes, I mean the you know, getting what one wants, on a sort of a sensory, sensual, worldly basis is, it can be quite satisfying. But then the tendency, is and the difference, I think, is that there be a it starts to feed into a process. If it's not really aligned with Dhamma, starts feeding into a process of like a desire cycle of more, I need more, I need more refined, different, better. Whereas if it's aligned with Dhamma, the trajectory will be much more toward relinquishment or peace or more subtlety, that just that sense of with piti, would be inclining more to, if you're feeding it with sort of the aspect of Dhamma or it's aligning itself with Dhamma, then it'll tend to quite naturally turn to more peaceful, turning to relinquishment, turning to settling.
Just having that energy running through the body, that can be quite addictive. And so it's one of the things comes up in leading meditation retreats, and I mean in the Sangha as well, but often on silent meditation retreats, then that's something that's quite an issue for some people, that they're really addicted to the energy of rapture, just as if it was like to Red Bull energy drinks or espresso coffee. You know, it's just like can't wait to get in the meditation hall to get their shot. And then also because of the energetic effects are very, they support wakefulness. So they can mean that the mind is much more alert through more hours of the day. And so it's not intrinsically unwholesome, but the way if the mind takes hold of it, it can be something that people really get addicted to and want to just keep perpetuating because of the kind of charge they get from it, just like being addicted to coffee or Red Bull or any kind of thing that electrifies the system, charges up the system. And so it can be quite a stopping point. And so it's one of those pieces of advice that some people don't want to hear sometimes, like that what you're experiencing and what you spent hours and hours developing and rejoicing in, it's like, yeah, best if you can let go of that and get beyond it. It's like, no, you can't take this away from me, because it's just that there can be a strong sense of happiness and pleasure, fulfillment, getting, I'm doing well with my practice. This is really, really great because I've got all this energy, all this brightness, and it feels kind of exciting, interesting, and charged. So the mind is labeling that as an intrinsic good, and then it's become an object of addiction, or a means of addiction.